This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com. Sportsradio740.com.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. So glad you're with us as we kick off hour number two of the Budweiser Sports Line, brought to you by good friends at Bama Budweiser. And I realize that Alabama's A-Day game is this Saturday, Travis, but Barry wants to talk about Bama basketball and guys testing the NBA and a guy possibly coming back. So can you clear that up for us before we get to football today?
Talking basketball, Travis, give us the bottom line. Is Braxton Key going or staying? What about Armand Davis? What's happening over there, Travis?
Yeah, maybe that's a good sign for Alabama basketball that we're talking about the sport, talking about Avery Johnson's team in the lead-up to an 8A scrimmage. So nothing says you've arrived, I guess, like that. But, yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise yesterday, I guess, to most of us to hear that Braxton Key was looking to test the NBA waters and declaring for the upcoming draft without signing with an agent. So that obviously gives him the opportunity to return to school if that's what he chooses to do. But I think a guy that when you talk about upside and potential down the road, certainly an NBA-type prospect. Don't think he's at that point right now, but no harm in testing the waters. My understanding is that he does have a very solid support system in place to help him through this process. So really, if Braxton Key approaches this with the right mindset, which should be to get feedback, to focus on self-improvement, and then put those things into play back at the college level, it can be a very good thing. If, you know, if he doesn't, then he may be disappointed.
Makes sense.
You think, John?
I think I said that not as eloquently as Travis just did, but
say that one.
I think I said something similar to that. I said, you know, go test the water, see what happens, and you never know. It could come back a better player. We'll have to rewind the tape. It was something like that, but let's get to football, Travis.
Why not?
I mentioned to Barry earlier today that for a guy that has yet to take a snap at the quarterback position, I sure have been hearing and reading and having conversations about Tui Tagovailoa. I understand today I was mispronouncing it. I got to use
Getting closer.
Yeah, closer.
He blew the first name, though. It's Tua, not Tui.
Yeah.
I think they're just going to change it to Tualusa, you know, and just put it on the city limits here.
Yeah, why not?
If he performs like the buzz around him has been in the last few weeks, they may just go ahead and do that. But, no, in all seriousness, there's been real positivity when you talk about the newcomer, Tua Tagovailoa. And, you know, just watching this guy throw the football, I mean, you can watch him just in individual drills, and it's a show. I mean, he can throw it, and he is on target. He is on time. And, again, the ball spins. Really unlike any Alabama quarterback I've seen around here, maybe since Brody Croyle. And I know that's saying something, but with A.J. McCarron and some of these guys threw it around pretty good themselves. But we'll see. You know, obviously a lot of excitement. We always know that the second team quarterback is going to be the most popular guy on the team. But I think it's been a real positive vibe around the quarterback position in general this spring, the passing game in general, with Brian Daboll coming in as the offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach. Jalen Hurts doing some nice things, especially in the first scrimmage. Tua doing some good things. Matt Jones, the other true freshman, has shown some flashes. So I think the passing game in general, is sort of the feel-good story, I guess, of spring practice so far.
For those people who are not familiar and maybe going up to the A-Day game up there for the very first time, give a historical approach under Nick Saban as to how he approaches this game. Is it real game conditions? What can they expect when they come there in terms of competition and a true scrimmage?
Yeah, you know, I think it's more about the fans, and it's a recruiting opportunity as well. You know, that kind of goes hand in hand. Nick Saban likes to see big crowds because they obviously have had an impact on from a positive standpoint on recruits dating back to his very first A-Day in 2007, which a lot of people feel like totally set the tone for what was to come. You know, as far as the format of the scrimmage, I like it in that at least for a quarter or so, you're going to see ones versus ones, twos versus twos. It seems like in more and more spring games these days, we see the first offense and the first defense go against a collection of twos and threes, and you know it doesn't really reveal a whole lot in terms of competitiveness and guys going against each other, good versus good. So you'll see some of that. It won't be for the entirety of the spring game on Saturday, probably more of a quarter and a half, two quarters of it. But at least you'll get a glimpse of where things sit right now in terms of first team versus first team and kind of work your way from there.
Travis, obviously, you know, we just mentioned it, talking about Tagovailoa, but I tell you a guy that I'm hearing a lot about in just conversation with people, and I know we've talked about him as well, but this young man seems to be getting a lot of buzz, and talking about Trayvon Diggs. A guy that seems to could be almost anywhere on the field. A guy so athletic.
Yeah, he could. And right now it looks like he's going to be at left cornerback. And not just at left cornerback, but working with that first team secondary. And if he can follow through and really solidify that situation at corner, then the rest of the pieces in the secondary should fall into place, specifically the landing spot for Minkah Fitzpatrick, who has obviously played corner, he's played nickel, he's played safety. So Diggs has everything you look for physically in an elite corner in college football. He's 6'2", he's just under 200 pounds, very athletic, can make plays on the ball, and has shown a little bit more of a physical side to him than I think maybe some people expected. So that's been very promising, and again, you know, his continued emergence at that spot would go a long way in helping them settle in with their top six back there in the secondary.
We're talking with Travis Ryer, BamaOnline.com, about Alabama, but a lot of times we just like getting your opinions on things that are going on around there without speaking or attempting to speak for Nick Saban. Your thoughts on what he was saying and sort of going off on the subject on the podium about NCAA restrictions on quote staff sizes and his point about the need to develop coaches, not necessarily speaking for him, but what do you think about that issue?
Well, I think he understands that, you know, we're kind of getting to the point where, you know, staff sizes are going to become a focal point perhaps for the NCAA. Now, I've said it before, you know, we talk about there being parity in college football, and in terms of 85 scholarships, there are. But clearly the haves, you know, where they are continuing to distance themselves from, you know, the mid-majors, so to speak, or the have-nots altogether at the FBS level is, you know, the resources are showing up in the support staffs. There's no doubt about it. And if you're a have, you absolutely should take advantage of that situation right now. And that's what you're seeing, not only at Alabama, but the growing trend with more of the blue bloods, I guess the Power Five type programs, where you're seeing more and more of it. And, you know, I think for Saban specifically in this latest instance, I mean, he's felt like, you know, that more so than even something that, you know, affects him directly and his program directly. And we've heard Gus Malzahn and others comment on this too, is that, you know, limiting or basically eliminating the possibility for high school coaches to take that next step to the college level in those support roles or even work camps,
right,
is a real negative. And so, you know, I think he legitimately has displeasure for that. And that's what we're hearing. I think there are a lot of times where coaches are self-serving in their opinions and their thoughts on rules and things like that. I think in this particular instance, guys like Saban and others are genuine in their concern for, you know, younger coaches and their ability to move on to the college level.
Travis Schreier, Bama Online, joining us here today. Should there be any concern that Alabama only has four commitments on the 18th of April?
I don't think so. You know, it is a little bit different, I would say, compared to some previous years. I'm not exactly a recruiting guru anymore at this point in my career. I haven't really studied it. But, you know, regardless of how the sausage gets made, it always seems to get made. And so I think we're not at a point where it ought to be a reason for concern. You know, ask me again, I guess, at the end of the summer, mm-hmm. because so much of it these days is based on evaluation and really validation at summer camps. You'll hear about a lot of early offers out there, but a lot of those are contingent upon attending camp first and foremost and validating that offer, that initial offer, once you go to camp. So, you know, we get to the end of July and Alabama still sitting with maybe 5-6 commitments, and perhaps it's a bit of a red flag, but you know, I'm just not to that point yet.
Another player I wanted to ask you about, obviously with the departure of Adam Griffin, there's going to be a need at place kicking. Montgomery's own Andy Papanastos is certainly on the list, but I'm hearing J.K. Scott also could be handling some of the kickoff and field goal duties. How's that going to shake out?
Yeah, it could go down that way. And, you know, I've said it before, I think Papanastos ideally could give them sort of a Jeremy Shelley type option, you know, more of an inside 45 yards and extra points guy, whereas J.K. could help out with kickoffs, maybe even Joseph Bullis coming in, the freshman, could do that, and then longer field goals as well. So, you know, J.K. certainly talented enough. You don't see a lot of combo guys in at this level of college football anymore, or even the National Football League. I mean, when you look at the NFL, as coveted as roster spots are, you know, on a 53-man roster, you still have pretty much every team with a punter and a kicker. You don't see them even trying to crunch the numbers and go with combo guys. It's hard to do. It's hard to do at an optimum level in both areas for sure. So ideally, I think they like to keep as much of the place kicking off of J.K. as possible. Let him still just you know, focus entirely, if possible, on punting, because he's that much of a weapon, that big of a weapon for him in that area of the game. But he is talented enough. He is capable that if it comes down to it, you know, he can shoulder some of that load at least.
I'm looking at my notes here, and you know, John is asking about specific players, and I had one that I had circled, so I might throw this one in here. I'm trying to get some clarity on one of the outside linebacker positions, where my notes tell me that it's sort of going to boil down between Anfernee Jennings and Terrell Hall. I've heard a lot about Terrell Hall so far. Have you got any thoughts about the, not necessarily just those two guys, but that position, how that will shake out before the season opener?
Yeah, it's kind of a three-guy mix right now, I would say, okay, when you include Christian Miller in there. I mean, there are the strong side and Jack positions, but those guys are usually capable of playing either spot in Alabama's defense. You know, I think Christian Miller is more of a straight speed edge guy in the pass rush, can play in space, can play in coverage, can drop in playing coverage. Anfernee Jennings at 260 plus, more of a stout, strong presence, specifically against the run, can bring some power to the pass rush. Mm-hmm. But then there's Hall, who's kind of, you know, the best of all those worlds. 6'5", 250 or so. He can get off the edge. He can play with speed. He has a little more power than Christian Miller has at the point of attack in terms of setting the edge against the run. So, you know, those three are going to be the primary options going into fall camp, I think. But I still think Rashawn Evans is a guy you're going to see out there some too. I think you know, Rashawn's going to be an every down player at linebacker. Mm-hmm. I just think that, you know, on first down and maybe even second down, he's a guy you see at inside backer. But in third and long, I still think they're going to make use of Rashawn Evans' pass rush ability in those situations.
Travis, the one area that I've been hearing throughout the spring that might need a little, I don't know, tightening up, I guess, is a nice way to put it, is the offensive line. That seems to be an area every year you got to get the right combinations in there and make sure you got the right five or six guys on the offensive line. Is that something Saturday you're going to be looking at to see what combinations are in there and really maybe how that unit has come together or might need a little bit more work? Obviously, you can't ever have enough work, but throughout the summer to maybe get that area more tightened up.
Yeah, I think so. I think right now they probably feel like they've got four guys out of five. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, the left side with Jonah Williams flipping over there to left tackle, Ross Pierce-Bacher at left guard, Bradley Bozeman at center. So from center to left tackle on that side, you feel pretty good about that trio. And I think Lester Cotton right now mm-hmm. is the fourth guy. It's just a question of will they play him at guard or tackle, and that's contingent upon another tackle stepping up at, on the right side or a guard on the right side. And you know, in the latest scrimmage, the first group, they had Lester at right tackle with redshirt freshman Deontay Brown at right guard. In the first scrimmage, they had Matt Womack at right tackle with Lester inside at guard. So that's where they're at, or they seem to be at, in terms of trying to figure out the right side of that offensive line. And again, you know, Saban has always talked about getting the best five on the field together. I think they have four that they feel really good about probably right now. It's figuring out who that fifth guy is and whether it's a guard or tackle mm-hmm. and how that goes will determine where we ultimately probably see Lester Cotton.
Next week, we'll get a recap of Saturday's A-Day game in Tuscaloosa. But as we lead up to that, and of course, during the game and after, Travis Ryer and that great staff at Bama Online will have you on top of everything Alabama athletics and, of course, Alabama's spring football game. Travis, let our listeners know how they can become more involved with what you guys do there at BamaOnline.com.
Thanks, guys. Just go to BamaOnline.com or Alabama.247sports.com. Either way will get you to us.
Always a pleasure, Travis. Look